Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini Guy Mike. I'm here with Illini Guy Brad, with Matt Stevens, Kedrick Prince. We're going to talk a little bit about the Illini's upset loss this week to University of Texas San Antonio. As a big-time fan and a guy who's been following the Illini for years, this is one of those games that we were afraid of. You go and you beat a team you're not supposed to in Nebraska, and then you have to play another team that's formidable. They played in a bowl last year, had over 20 starters that were back, and they came in loaded for bear. And Illinois played a competitive game. Certainly, we kind of feel like if this was a Lovie Smith game team, it might have been a blowout. But inevitably, the Illini came up a little bit short tonight. So instead of me talking about my theories about it, let's go to some folks who are a little closer to the team and have a little bit better perspective than where I come from. So first up, Mr. Sturdy, you going to give us your thoughts about what you saw tonight and where you are as a reporter covering the Illini?
Yeah, Illinois, it's a game you can't lose. I mean, this is a game you needed to win. You have momentum. You beat Nebraska. I know you're without your starting quarterback, but you have to win this. And UTSA is a good team. I really like them. I like the way they do things. I like their skill position guys, wide receiver, running back, quarterback. I like those guys. But you still have to win. And Illinois could have won this game very handily if they don't make some easy mistakes. Obviously quarterback made some bad reads, missed a lot of open guys. I feel like the key for me in this game came in the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third quarter. Illinois gets a stop. They have 2 minutes to go. They get a punt and it bounces off the Illinois player and they turn the ball over. So then they come out well and they get a field goal. Well, hold a field goal. But instead of being tied or possibly ahead at halftime, now you're down by six. You get the ball coming out of the first start third quarter, and you get the ball, you don't do anything, then you get a stop, and then you don't do anything, get good field position, don't do anything again. And it's they had the opportunities that you have to be able to do that. And you have to be able to impose your will on a team that's, you know, the defensive line was smaller. They didn't do a good job. I mean, the offensive line didn't dominate. They didn't run the ball well enough as well as they should have. I didn't like the play calling. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little disappointing. I just think they have to be better than that. If you want to get this program to where it needs to be, and you can say we knew there were going to be days like these, and you're right. But I mean, you know, I went from thinking 6-6. Now I'm thinking, 3-9. So, it's just too many mistakes. And that's what coaching was supposed to improve. Coaching is supposed to improve those mistakes and those plays. And it didn't happen tonight.
Yeah. And so obviously, Brad has been covering the Illini for years. So now we're going to go to Matt Stevens, who has also been covering Illinois for years, but he's also got some of that background with the SEC and obviously Purdue in the Big Ten. Matt, what happened tonight? And from your perspective, we're going to be obviously anxiously awaiting your film breakdown, to come out. But give us a little flavor of what you saw sitting up in the press box tonight.
I thought Brett Bielema just, 10 minutes ago, summarized it pretty well. Everything that UTSA got, and they're a good football team, and you did mention that, but everything they got was easy. Like a lot of their pitch and catches were easy until Illinois made adjustments. A lot of their ability to stop Illinois on third down was easy because Illinois wasn't creative offensively. UTSA's ability to, move the chains on third down was easy because Illinois was giving them yardage. UTSA's ability to basically put this game on ice with that last touchdown drive was easy because that's just running down the middle of the field where nobody's covering you. I mean, there's a lot of everything that we applauded Ryan Walters and that defensive staff on last Saturday against Nebraska. We got to question, what's going on this week when it's – I know it's a different scheme, and I know that they had however many months and whatever secrecy they wanted to use against Nebraska. And boy, it seemed like, UTSA came in prepared because they watched a whole lot of film and realized, that easy pitch and catch, that's still there, man. And I guess I have a bone to pick with Illinois fans because, that happened a lot with Lovie Smith. And so either the players aren't very good or Lovey's an idiot. And a lot of people seem to think that Lovey's an idiot. Well, maybe the players aren't very good or the players are still making the same mistakes, because those pitches and catches were happening last year too. I mean, you know, Iowa moved the first, I mean, I watched games last year where Iowa moved the ball up and down the field, you know, methodically getting, you know, third down catches after catch after catch. That post route that they run, that's not complicated. And I give Ryan Walters credit and his staff. They made adjustments in the second half to stop that. And they played more press man than they probably wanted to, but it's just, it's not, you know, it was too late. You know, you gave up 37 points. I mean, with, again, Brad talked about it, but like, okay, you don't have your back, you don't have your starting quarterback. You don't have your top two tailbacks. You don't have a projected starting wide receiver, but you still scored 30 points. You ought to win the ball game, and you're at home. And you gotta win the ball game. And they made very, very silly mistakes throughout the entire evening. And I have to take them for their word that the preparation was pretty good and the practices were pretty good. And they just came out on Saturday, and at least in the first half, and just laid a big giant egg. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm frustrated with the idea that hasn't changed, and I think Brett Bielema was frustrated too, because now we got to learn how to deal with success. Well, Illinois's not very good at that still. Like, that was proven tonight. Like, they can deal with failure, they can deal with everybody thinking that they're a bad football team, and that's what you saw against Nebraska. Can't deal with success right now and everybody thinking, oh, maybe the corner's turned. This corner hasn't turned yet. I mean, it's clear that, you know, 18 Brandon Peters needs to get back behind center. As good as Art Sikowski was in the second half, and good as, you know, three touchdowns and no interceptions, the statistics look all right, but there are throws that he just didn't make. And it was very clear UTSA was not scared of him. They were more scared of Illinois being able to run football, and the line of scrimmage just didn't change with the big boys up front. So there's a lot of mistakes that need to be corrected, and a lot of things that looked the same from the Lovie Smith era. Looked the same from the Eastern Michigan game you got beat 2 years ago. Looked the same from the South Florida games where you got beat. Looked the same from, you know, other non-Power Fives that came in here and you barely, you know, gutted your way out of a win. Like, this is very, very similar. And I know year one, Brett Bielema is not supposed to change everything, but I feel like a lot of Illini fans felt like last Saturday, a lot of things were supposed to change. And I think this Saturday proved that maybe a lot of them haven't. So I'm kind of with Sturdy on this. Like, I was really kind of like watching the games up until this one and going, hey, the path to six wins for Illinois is kind of there. And now I'm sitting here and I'm going, this is what I've been telling people all throughout fall camp and all throughout the, you know, the summer. I mean, you got 22 seniors, super seniors coming back that haven't won a darn thing. And have allowed this to happen for 5 and 6 years now. And this is what you get. So I guess until my point is, and my point has been the entire summer, and until the talent changes and the personnel maybe changes on the field, I don't know if this result's going to be much different. So it's a frustrating night in Champaign. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when you look at the super seniors, you know, the last 4 years, their record is somewhere around 14-31. Overall.
They haven't done a darn thing. You're right. They just haven't done a darn thing. And I go back to, this is the fifth straight year Illinois lost to a non-Power Five, non-conference. Fifth straight year. If you take away the COVID year of 2020 when they didn't get to play non-conference games, it's the fifth straight year. And if you're going to turn the corner and you're going to be a team that Brett Bielema wants you to be, you got to win these games. You paid UTSA $1.1 million to come in and beat you in Champaign. That doesn't seem like an even trade to me. And I know UTSA is good, and they're probably going to go to a bowl game this year. They've got really, really good talent. But that's not a loss you need to be taking. Like, the sad part about this is that if Illinois were to come away from this 1-1, and you gave me that on my birthday on August 16th, I'd have been like, okay, everything's fine. Everything's dandy. But the way the order has happened now, you kind of larken back to the idea of this is a bigger rebuilding job than everybody really wanted to believe out of Brett Bielema. This isn't snap your fingers with 22 super seniors and suddenly now you're at the top of the Big Ten West. That's not how this works. And in all of his credit, and I give Brett credit for this, he kind of tried to tell everybody that. He tried to prepare you, like, there's pain coming here. And he said it on set. He said it tonight. This sucks. Like, this sucks. This feeling sucks. And it does, but it's a 5-year feeling because you've let this happen for 5 straight years. It's a reoccurring feeling for Illinois fans. It's a reoccurring feeling for the players on this roster. Yeah. And until that stops, like, I don't know if Illinois fans can trust this program going forward, especially in games where you get to kickoff and you're a 4-point favorite in a game like this. Like, why aren't you more than a touchdown favorite in this game? Well, you found out tonight why you're not more than a touchdown favorite in this game, because the talent on the football field wasn't drastically different on the opposing sideline and the home sideline. That's pretty much the long story short on this one.
Yeah, and I know from talking with you and Brad and Kedrick, you know, over the course of the summer, you know, it was clear that you know, the expectations of having super seniors that go 14-31 and had a Big Ten record of 8-27 or thereabouts, it was definitely a double-edged sword. At the same time, you know, we were obviously hoping that they would get some consistency that maybe hadn't been there during the Smith era, and that may be a pipe dream. So, Kedrick, you had an opportunity to take in the game. What were your thoughts after witnessing Nebraska last week and then kind of going through this game tonight?
Well, I guess I kind of have mixed thoughts and mixed feelings on it. You know, listening to you talk and Brad and then Matt, I guess I have mixed feelings because, you know, it's a game that they should have won. There's no way, I think, in my mind that they should have lost a game, you know, at home coming after a big win against Nebraska as the home opener. And to me, I guess I'm not frustrated with the coaches, you know, because I think they made adjustments when they needed to the second half. For years, you know, Illinois fans have been crying and asking to see a coaching staff make adjustments. I believe in a coaching staff. Wasn't really happy with the play calling on offense. However, maybe it was vanilla because Illinois doesn't have enough playmakers. Listening to all three of you talk, you've all said it. And this is no knock. And I don't want people to think that we're being critical of student athletes. The talent's just not there. It's just not. It's not up to par with some of these other schools. Mike, you just mentioned what the statistics were, you know, for wins and losses for them. And the good thing about them is that they're older and that they're mature. And they're going, and I believe in this coaching staff, I think that they'll eventually get it turned around. Now, when I said I have mixed feelings, this loss stinks, but I think they're going to beat people that they shouldn't beat. They always do that. There's always going to be one or two games where they're going to surprise somebody and they're going to beat them. Like last year when they went to Nebraska, no one thought that was going to happen. So having said that, I still believe that they can get to a bowl game, but I think they have to make some serious adjustments at the quarterback position, whether it be Arthur, whether it be Brandon. I don't know what the answer is going to be. We all know that they miss open receivers and throwing off their back foot. You have to have guys, in my opinion, who can give you a chance to win. You cannot continue to put guys on the field that's going to hurt you, in my personal opinion.
So we've went a little bit around the horn here. Brad, any thoughts now that you've had a chance to listen to the kind of the different perspectives that we're bringing to the table here? Anything that maybe you missed the first time around?
I don't think that, you know, at the end of the day, like, and I know there's people like that don't think that the coaches are good enough, but here's my thing. Like, college football is about you. It's just like every other, you know, NFL, same way. You have to be you want to have a defense. You can have Georgia's defense or you can have Alabama's defense. You can do all this stuff, but you got to have playmakers and you got to have a quarterback. And if you don't have those guys, you're like trying to do things and you got to have, look at these guys. If you don't have a defense, and Illinois does not have a defense. I mean, we can put lipstick on a pig all we want. You got to score. And it's easier to score in college football than anything else. I mean, it is, if you can scheme points. And so there were so many possessions, Illinois went 3 and out tonight, that where they just, it was abysmal. And then the first and 10 from the 26-yard line with 50 seconds to go, yep, when they run the ball, I'm sitting here in my head going, what are you trying to do? Because let's say you break it for a 5-yard gain. So what? Like, what did you gain? I mean, it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen, perhaps, in football. And I shouldn't say it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen because I've been watching Illinois football too long. Tim but it Beckman. Was, yeah, I mean, exactly. So we Ron Zook trying to look at his 2-point chart is also another good one. But so I'm sitting here thinking in my head, like, why would you do that at that point in the game? It made no sense. And, you know, at the end of the day, you needed, you know, that 10 or 15 seconds, maybe get in our play. And, you know, I think that, you know, we can't blame Sitkowski for being what he is, because I think he's a backup quarterback at this level. And, you know, I think Brandon Peters is better. There's a reason. But I still don't think if you want to win the way you want to win, I don't think they have a good enough quarterback on this roster to win the way they want to win. It doesn't mean that they're bad players or anything, but especially with their guys. Now, if you put – I said this before. Like, you put Brandon Peters on Alabama, he'd probably look really good. Even in Alabama, even against those teams, because he'd have all those guys around him. So, but you got to have a guy who makes plays now, because you don't have him at other positions. You don't have a dominant offensive line. You know, even though they're old, just doesn't mean they're good. I mean, we got all these super seniors, but, you know, I don't know what you said, Mike. I think you're right. And the record isn't the best ever.
Well, and I just look at this season, I got to be honest with you, last week kind of threw me for a loop. Because I looked at this team, and again, I listen to what you guys say. I do my research, and I looked at this team as being extremely weak at the defensive back, wide receiver position, very thin at defensive tackle. And I personally didn't believe in any of the quarterbacks. And then when I go look at the national champions who've had really rough defensive backfields, wide receiver cores, iffy quarterbacks and thin defensive lines, there's nobody there. So I, you know, right there, I'm like, okay, so this team is going to be limited in its potential. And now that I've seen what I saw the first week, maybe the big differentiator that none of us took into consideration is Scott Frost. Maybe he's what Illinois needs to face on a weekly basis.
Can I jump in, Mike, with that? Because when you go back and you look at week zero, the win against Nebraska, what did Brett Bielema do really, really well on that Saturday? He let Nebraska give Illinois the football game. Like, in a sense, like, they put the ball on the ground and Calvin Hart returned it 41 yards for a fumble or touch for a touchdown. That's giving away points. Like, okay, Art Sitkowski throws a pick and you give up 30 yards and you give up the ball and you give up all the momentum. Illinois went down and scored. That's giving them points, momentum, and making another dumb play. You're throwing the ball out of the end zone and creating 2 points for Illinois. Like, if you look at it from that perspective, like, they played a really, really vanilla offense, mostly, again, because Brandon, you know, fell on his shoulder and, you know, came out in a sling in the second half. But they played really vanilla and let Nebraska basically throw up all over themselves. Well, UTSA didn't do that tonight. And I'll tell you why they didn't do that tonight. Because they got 20 guys returning starters, and they went to a bowl game last year. Their coaches get paid too, a decent amount of money compared to what normal non-Power Fives get paid.
Yep.
And they're going to go out and take what you're going to give them. And Illinois, I think, at some point expected UTSA to kind of throw up all over themselves. And I think you kind of saw that with, you know, a couple of turnovers that turned into, like, I think 3 points for Illinois and kept them in the football game. But there was never a momentum shift in which UTSA handed you the football game, because good teams aren't going to do that. I don't care if they're non-Power Five or if they're Big Ten opponents or whatnot. Good teams aren't going to do that. They're not just going to – you're not going to be able to play vanilla offense and have a team just hand you the football game. And I'll say this, like, to Ked's point of, I don't know what the answer is at quarterback, I'll tell you what the answer is at quarterback going forward. Like, if Brandon's medically cleared, which he was not tonight, he was in t-shirt and shorts after doing warmups. He's going to play because he's the best guy you got. He's the only guy that can make certain throws on this football team, period. End of discussion. And that's who you got, man. And you're right, Mike. I'm talking about DB. I think TA and Devin Witherspoon's going to be a good player, but he got picked on tonight.
Yeah.
Because he's sitting 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, and they're going to run a post every time and get a third down conversion. He it took Ryan Walters and Aaron Henry a halftime adjustment to figure that out. That's fine, but they're going to pick on you the minute you do that. And we talked to Tony Adams tonight, and he's like, I didn't play very well at all either. And I've said it since this roster came out and the fall camp when they're moving practically almost everybody from another position over to wide receiver. It's because the wide receivers aren't any good. I mean, that's the honest to God truth of it. Their wide receivers are the worst in the Big Ten. It's by far.
And that could be probably some of the reason why they don't throw the ball down the field, because they don't have it. They don't have that, we talked about it earlier. They don't have that 6'5", 6'6" guy that they can throw the ball to. Isaiah Williams, as good as he is, he's listed at 6 foot, but he's probably 5'11" at best, as fast as he is. This is why I say I trust in the coaching staff. The talent level is going to get better, and we all know that. And you're right, Matt. Brandon Peters is the best that they have, and they're either going to win with him or lose with him. I get it, because that's what the roster says. But maybe at the semester they may get a transfer. I know it's not going to help them, for this year, but they have to improve that position. And Matt, you mentioned earlier about the defense. They gave up 497 yards today to a non-Power 5 school at home. I just think that's atrocious. I think they made adjustments, but I tell you what, it took them a half to do that. And when you're giving up 500 yards of offense at home, to a non-Power 5 school, I don't know. And I don't think it's the schemes. I just think it's players at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, Kat. I'm glad you hit on that, because there's a lot of people on our boards. Mike can verify this. Brad can verify this. Like, that just think Lovie Smith's a complete moron. And I'm telling you right now, like, this is the defense short of, that's the coverage that Lovie was playing all year for 4 years. Like, that's what frustrates fans. It's like, why aren't you playing press man? Well, the reason they're not playing press man all the time is because they think they're going to get beat deep. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, and that translates.
Lovie was fine with giant, like Mike, Lovie was fine with dying a slow death out here on the island, because
he couldn't recruit the difference makers that you need to win college football games. That's really what it comes down to.
Skill position, yes, absolutely, 100%.
And the bottom line is look, Coach B, I think he's doing some things to change the culture. I'm all for it. I want to give the guy an opportunity. I don't have any problems with Coach B, but he wouldn't be here if Lovie Smith could have recruited the athlete that makes a difference on the field.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Lovie's inability to get anything on the outside worth a darn. I'm talking offense and defense.
Yeah.
On the perimeter, in terms of skill position players, is just evident with this program and where they are last year and then this year. I mean, quite frankly. So, Brett Bielema got prickly with me tonight about a question I asked. I said, look, you said last week in a win that the defense was a little ugly and it was a little shaky. He's like, did I say it was a little shaky? I go, you said it was ugly, Brett, like in a win. And it kind of was. And so I asked him if there's transitions and there's lessons that are being learned from week to week. And I think they think that they had a good week of preparation and they just laid an egg tonight, and especially on defense and especially up front. They need to move they needed to move the line of scrimmage a hell of a lot more on offense than they absolutely did.
When you're Illinois, when you only rush for 146 yards,
there it
and
is
that's your, and that, I mean seriously they that's your bread and butter. And last week it was different, but you're right, they got no push up front. And I believe in the staff. I know they're competitive and I know they're going to challenge the kids. Tough to go on the road to Virginia next week, because that's not going to be easy, but they have to clean up a lot of things. And I don't know, I guess, they need the football guys at this point, because from a talent standpoint, this isn't going to change overnight. It's going to be the same. Yeah. And they're going to have some things go their way. They're going to have a few breaks go their way, and they cannot continue to give up 500-600 yards of offense. You just can't.
Yeah. And I know they were like, the thing I would say, I feel like our offense only had like four drives. And so it was like three and out, three and out, three and out, defense right back on the field. So I think that's tough. But at the end of the game, the time possession was very similar. The thing that shocked me was that I thought at the end of the game, Illinois was going to be able to run the ball because they had more size and strength in their offensive line. And like Matt said, they got no push. At the end, in fact, it was the other way around. UTSA was pushed around the Illinois defensive line. Now, I'll say losing those first couple possessions when Keith Randolph was on the field, they were different. Yep. And is he that important? I don't know. There's got to be more to it than just that. But I know they don't have a lot of depth on that D-line, so maybe that's why they get worn down. But, you got to get better players. You got to be a little more creative. I feel like Ryan Walters has tried to do different things. I think tonight everything was a run or a quick pass. There was nothing – they weren't doing any kind of, like, long developing plays. It was quick screens. Because I think they knew they weren't going to block them if they had to hold the block for 5 or 6 seconds. And so that's good offensive coaching, right? I mean, that's what they were supposed to do. And Illinois just, on the other hand, you saw Illinois like very predictable until really they had to. When they were down 10, I felt like they really 30 to 20 is when they kind of said, okay, we need to start trying to play now. Let's try and do some things. Let's throw the ball down the field. Let's try some different things. But then it's too late. So
I agree with Sturdy. I think Ryan Walters has gotten real creative with the talent void that he's dealing with on the defensive side of the ball. And I feel like Tony Peterson, like those scripted 15 plays that they do at the start of game.
Wow.
It was evident that they have very, very little confidence in throwing the ball vertically down the field with Art Sikowski. It was evident. And you saw those 15 scripted plays last week where we're hitting Luke Ford down the middle of the field and we're hitting Isaiah Williams and we're hitting Casey Washington with Brandon Peters. Those 15 scripted plays were, boy, we better get a push and we better establish a running game so that Art can have 7-8 seconds to throw the football. Like, that was the plan, I guess. But, yeah, you're right, Brad. And then they get down and it's, hey, maybe we ought to find Isaiah open in the flat. And let him try to figure some stuff out. Like, maybe we ought to get the ball to our playmakers. Like, the stats are going to say that Art Sikowski had a decent game. Two of those three touchdown passes, UTSA didn't line up a defender to cover them. Like, Deuce Spann lined up in front of air, and they threw a touchdown pass to him eventually when they found him. Daniel Barker lined up against air, and they threw a touchdown pass to him. Like, that's supposed to happen. Like, so – the stats they had opportunities to hit big plays.
35 yards in the first quarter, 33 yards in the third quarter. Those are the two times when you are scripted, you are ready to go, you're coming out, you're fired up, and you get the ball to start the second half, and you put 33 yards on the board in the third quarter. That's just not good enough.
No. Yeah, and I mean, and at the end of the day, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
I don't know. You know, I look at this, and what scares me is when there's only so much you can scheme around if your defensive line is thin and they can't put pressure on the quarterback and your defensive backs are young, inexperienced, or not quick enough, small, to cover, you know, wide receivers.
But other than that, they're really nice. Gonna say,
I'm not certain in my little handbook of football facts, like, what do I do when my defensive line can't apply pressure and my DBs can't cover as well? There's really not a chapter on that. You know, they've left that chapter. It's basically that you go, it says chapter 11, and it says declare bankruptcy, and then you turn the page to chapter 12. So I'm not certain, you know, that to me is what scares me, because Big Ten quarterbacks who can make passes that this gentleman couldn't tonight, throwing to wide receivers who are going to be playing, you know, some more wide receivers who will be playing in the NFL, that gives me a little bit of pause. And, of course, the issues we have at quarterback, one could argue if Jim Harbaugh had a quarterback over the last few years at Michigan, he might have beaten Ohio State once.
And our best quarterback couldn't play for them. So,
yes, that's exactly right. And again, I mean, this is not an attack on the current staff. It's kind of a boilerplate as to how they get through this season and how they make a run at 6-6. And I think we're going to need to see, and Kedrick kind of talked about fortunate. I think they're going to need to coordinate some smoke and mirrors, and I don't know how long smoke and mirrors works.
You're going to need some teams to put Mike. I can answer that. You're going to need some teams to play badly.
Like, yes, exactly.
You're gonna have to have Nebraska, like Nebraska played terribly last weekend and gave you the football game. You're gonna have to have that. My issue, Mike, is that I think these guys can cover. I think Devin Witherspoon can cover, and I think Tony Adams can cover. Owen Carney said it after the game to us. Like, it was short passes. And he's frustrated because he's like, I can't get to the quarterback if he's going to get rid of it in 2 seconds. Like, yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, so credit UTSA. They watched the entire film of last weekend and said, hey, Adrian Martinez sat in the pocket and couldn't find anybody to throw to, and eventually it became a problem. Like,
right.
So how about we let our guy just get rid of the football after 2 seconds, and at worst, it's an incomplete pass. Like, and we'll figure it out from there. Like, that's – I think these guys can cover long routes, and, like, I think that – you know, the defense can get pressure if, like, there's a lot of vertical routes out there. But right now, if the plan is, like, these pop passes, like, I feel confident that these four former defensive coordinators, if you include Bielema, are going to look at this game and go, okay, this is how we're going to fix this with our guys. Like, I'm not sure this offensive staff can fix what's going on until, you know, Brandon Peters gets medically cleared to play. And now we're a two-dimensional offense again.
Do we have any
times tonight? When I'm going to write it late tonight, Mike. There's times that they were a zero-dimensional offense because if they couldn't run the football, then guess what? UTSA had no fear that Art Sitkowski was going to beat him over the top. None.
Do we have any type of grad assistance with eligibility and the ability to play quarterback?
Are you taking a shot at my alma mater, Mike?
Well, I'll tell you what.
They got beat by a grad assistant quarterback tonight.
Yeah, I saw that.
Can you imagine?
I was taking a shot at Larry. Okay, I wasn't taking a shot.
Yeah, I can see where this is going. Go ahead, guys.
Well, next week they have to go to Virginia, and I mean, I know I'm getting old, but I could swore I thought I saw Rod Smith on the staff there. So if anybody's going to know this football team, it's going to be him.
Well, the good news is Northwestern was terrible this week. So
yeah.
They were worse than Illinois, perhaps. So
look, here's the thing: Bronto Mendenhall gets paid millions of dollars too. He's going to come up with something that's pretty good.
Well, and I guess, you know, I was really hoping we'd see an Indiana quarterback play and get a couple pick six for us tonight, but that didn't happen either.
Well, here's what you did see, Mike. I made the comment earlier this week that it's possible that Art Sitkowski Brandon Peters gets Wally pipped by the backup quarterback. That ain't going to happen. Like, the minute that he's medically cleared, he's going to start. I mean, so that's
we'll consider that a retraction.
Yeah, it has to be because there's the script.
It was fake news, Matt Stevens. It was fake news.
It's absolute fake news, especially based off the script plays that they showed in the first and the second half. Like, they have no confidence in nine throwing the ball down the field or anybody on the outside catching it. None.
Yeah. Well, I go back to, you know, maybe the two tight ends. You got two studs. Get the two tight ends, let them help on some blocking, and then get them the ball because they prove they can catch and they can move with it. And maybe that's a way to go. I don't know. I'm not an offensive coordinator. I've watched an awful lot of football.
It's the best playmaker. I mean, those two guys are the best playmakers at this point, and Isaiah. They don't typically throw the ball to Isaiah to the second half for some reason. He's not even a thought until the third or fourth quarter. But your two best hands-on guys, I think, are your tight ends.
Yeah. Let me stop everybody on the message boards now on Saturday at 11:45 p.m. Isaiah Williams isn't playing quarterback, period. I mean, I'm going to see it. We're all going to see it on the boards. I don't care. It's not happening. Like, I'm just telling you, Illinois is not in a better position if number one's playing quarterback, period. End of discussion. Because what's going to happen is you have defenses that basically go, no, like, this is what Brett Bielema understood immediately coming in. If I play him at quarterback, they know the passing game is nullified. We've already done it.
It's that way right now, to be honest with you. I mean, you got to be honest. The passing game isn't great right now. It's not.
I'm not – with 18, it's not terrible. With 18, it's not terrible.
How many – I'll say this.
Yeah, but your passing game, 8 catches for 101 yards would then be playing quarterback.
Yeah, that's the probably the just as much the problem. You get a guy who at least now he's getting the ball in space, you know. And I also wonder, you know, at his weight, how many hits can he take?
From a
couple, you know, these 290-pound defensive linemen. I wouldn't sign up for that.
Go back and watch last year's Northwestern game. That's exactly why this can't work. because Pat Fitzgerald knows how to coach defense, short of what happened on Friday night this week.
Yeah.
Knows how to coach defense. And, like, if you put somebody that is incapable of throwing the football back there and they know it, then he'll beat you every single time. So Isaiah Williams is the best athlete that they have, and they need to get him the ball more. But it's not going to be at quarterback.
It's different systems. I mean, he doesn't fit what Brett Bielema and what Tony Peterson's trying to do. I get that, because they don't run that offense. They run that traditional pro-style offense that they don't use. I mean, I get that. I guess my thing is, and I'm not going to sit and criticize Brandon Peters. I just don't – he's never won. He's never been successful, and he's not the answer. And Arthur isn't either, and that's what we talked about earlier. They need a quarterback – acting that can make plays to give you a chance to win. And we can sit here and say, yes, he's the best option, but can you honestly sit and say you think he's going to win 7 or 8 games for you? Because he's never done it yet.
I can sit here and tell you that one program of 130 FBS programs in the country wanted Isaiah Williams to play quarterback. One.
That's what I know that. Oh, no. That's what I can tell you on that. And that was Illinois.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that, yeah, you do need to probably go – you know, this
transfer portal.
Can we run the option? Yeah. Can we run the option? Run the wishbone?
You try like did that. You did that against Rutgers and won by 3.
Like, maybe we should just go with the wishbone. Go with that. No, we got to, you know, they need better players up and down the board. There's no question.
But last week at the tailgates, Luke Goody had quite an arm on him. So, I really got nothing on that. So let's go around the horn for final comments. I know fans are frustrated. So we're going to go in reverse order this time. We're going to go Ked, Matt, and Brad, and then I'll wrap it up, and then we'll let people move on with their weeks. It'll be on to Virginia. But, Ked, what should we be thinking now?
I don't think you should panic. It was a game that they should have won. We all agree on that. I think it's a long season. I think the coaching staff is good. I think they'll make some adjustments, and they'll try to win with what they have. I think they'll win some games that they're not supposed to. If they can win 5 or 6 games with this talent that they have, that's icing on the cake for me. That's the way I look at it.
Matt?
I'd panic. Like, you're not good enough.
How do you really feel, Matt?
I'd panic. Like, there's 2 games the rest of the year that they're going to be favored to win. 2. And I'm not entirely sure that they're going to win both. I'd panic.
Okay. So once you're done panicking, so whatever you accomplish in your panic, what do you do next?
I tell every recruit that was here and every recruit that wasn't here that might have wondered what the hell happened in Champaign Saturday night. Like, I would do privately, if I was Brett Bielema or some of these other coaches, are you seeing the guys that I'm putting out there? Like, I'm pretty sure you're better than them. Like, that's how I would be recruiting some of these guys. I'd be telling, I mean, I don't even know if it's 2023 guys. I'd be telling, like, Derek Shelton, who's the left tackle over at Heartland Arrowhead High School in Wisconsin, like Joey Oakley's teammate. Like, I'm pretty sure you're better than Alex Balcheski. Like, quietly. Like, I'm pretty sure you're better than him. Like, so why not come here? Like, I know you'll play. Like, I'd be telling Fegan over at Arthur, like, you're a better athlete than pretty much everybody I have on this roster. Like, come play for me. Like, that's what I'd be telling guys. Like, this staff's going to recruit pretty well. Like, I think they're going to turn it around. But, I mean, Brett Bielema kind of summed it up tonight. This sucks. Like, and I think he's kind of getting a taste of why this is such a tough rebuild. If I was an Illini fan, I'd panic right now because I saw the same stuff under the Lovey era. Like, when's this going to change?
I saw adjustments, though, and Lovey didn't do that. Even though they lost, I did some second half adjustments a little bit. Especially from Coach Walters.
So we'll give Brad the final word of the experts here tonight.
Yeah, I'm not panicking because there's a reason you have a new coach. It's because you didn't win enough, you know, but I also just don't think they're that good. You know what I mean? I got excited last week because I thought, you know, because I really think coaching can matter. But at the same time, if the talent level is equal, the coaching can make a big difference. I don't think that they're in the Big Ten, they're going to have enough talent to win a lot of games. But the other thing is, I look at the Big Ten, I don't think it's that good. I mean, I think Iowa looked pretty good this weekend. Ohio State's obviously the best team. Minnesota lost their best running back, who was a monster against OSU. So, you know, you look at that schedule, it's there's some good teams. I think Wisconsin and Penn State are great defensively. I thought their quarterbacks weren't very good either. I mean, Penn State ran for negative yardage and Wisconsin, you know, couldn't complete a pass. So, I look at those teams. I don't see, like, you have a chance to compete in those games. Hopefully they're going to get better. They got to do a better job of getting the ball to their playmakers, and they got to do a better job of, you know, defensively be in position. You can't make those silly mistakes. And if they do that, man, maybe they pull out some wins. But yeah, when I say don't panic, I mean, you're looking, this is a 2 or 3 year before you're actually where you want to be. Brett Bielema just getting the super seniors gave, I think, a lot of people hope that this would be different, and we're not there yet, obviously.
Yeah. So there it is, folks. We've had this edition of Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. And, of course, a couple things I'd like to go over before we end this. First off, if you are looking for something that's fun to listen to, Illini-centric sports, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is on across the state of Illinois. Please check your local stations for times that it might be on. If you do not have a station around you, you can go to IlliniGuys.com on Saturday afternoon, and you can download the podcast of the radio show. By the way, we are the unofficial, official podcast of a radio show for Illini fans at tailgates. We are the only unofficial, official podcast of a radio show. So make sure you listen to it and don't miss out. And then finally, of course, IlliniGuys.com, we have a 7-day free trial period. You don't get charged until the 7th day. So please go ahead and give it a try. $99 for a year. And whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, whether you live halfway across the United States or halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com is the only place to stay in the know. Thanks, everyone.